Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
And the sacrificial lamb.
Yelich to center. Julio is there, and he makes the catch. And Julio threw the ball into the seats. That was the second out. And so the runners are going to advance two bases, which will score another run.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
I think it's just about doing your job and having the respect for your teammates that, you know, you want them to give 100%, so you better give 100% yourself. And I think we've come to an understanding as an offense that, you know, everyone's giving their best effort. And that's why everyone loves playing for each other. They've got respect for each other. And I think that's why it's a really close group on offense.
Dirk and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning.
Hump day.
Yes, indeed. Happy hump day, everybody.
What is happening?
Andy, good to see you again.
Hello, Brandon. Welcome home. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How was vacation?
Great. Yeah. Amazing.
We give it a 10 out of 10. No complaints.
There's
always a gripe or two.
Let me ask you sincerely. Have you ever been on any vacation? And it doesn't have to be major. It doesn't have to have ruined everything. But have you ever been on a vacation where you didn't have a complaint?
Probably not.
Right?
There's got to be something in there. Even when we went to Hawaii, it was a great trip, but the flight out was a disaster, right? We couldn't check in till 4. We got there, or the car rental car took for us. Yeah, there's something. Yeah. Everywhere you go, there's one or two things.
My oldest, in a lot of ways, is basically her mom, but like a whiter version. But there's a lot of other things that remind me of me, and one of those things is complaining. And when we got to San Diego day one, she goes, "Dad, my goal the whole vacation, I'm not going to complain once.
Not going to gripe at all."
And maybe 3 hours in, she filed the complaint, and I said, "I thought you weren't complaining." She goes, "Okay, I'll start again.
Can I turn this ticket into the counter, please? What was the complaint? Was it actually a worthy complaint?"
No,
this toast wasn't cooked long enough. What? We're already complaining about that?
It was something hilarious, and I think by the fifth day, so we're getting to the tail end of the vacation, she was complaining about heat.
Yeah.
And I go, "I thought your goal was to not complain on this trip. You've complained quite a bit." She goes, "Dad, I gave up on that after the second day."
If you can't complain on vacation, you're not actually on vacation.
Exactly. That's
now, what heat are we complaining about? How hot was it?
Okay. We can get into the – I have like a lot of loves.
Sure.
And I have some negatives of San Diego, California.
First time to
San Diego.
Cherry popper to San Diego?
I'd never been to San Diego. I've been to L.A. a million times.
Right.
I can define something in L.A. that I think is like – I'm stamping it. There's nothing that's going to change my mind. When San Diego gets heat, I want to give our sales manager, Sam Tung, a lot of credit for this, the Tunger.
Okay.
He told me before I left, San Diego is interesting. When you're in like an Uber in San Diego, if it's below 70, they will wear sweatshirts. And they'll say, it's a little chilly out today.
Yeah.
If it's above
68 degrees and you're totally fine.
79, they are in shorts, t-shirts, and they're like complaining about how hot it is. They have an absolute sweet spot that exists between 70 and 78. And if it's not in that,
they're not happy.
They're miserable down there.
Too hot or too cold.
Now, I don't know if that's true for everybody, but I would say my observations were this seemed to be pretty accurate. He texted me. I didn't text him back. I felt bad.
Right.
My daughter is kind of the same. She has a sweet spot temperature-wise,
right?
And she fit in just
perfectly. Yeah. 82 degrees, like this is egregious weather right now.
The 82 in San Diego, with the way the sun hits you, is basically R93.
Feels hot as balls.
It feels hot as bees as you're that close to Tijuana. And so it's like that sun will hit you if you're not careful.
Border's right there, buddy.
And our last full day in San Diego, we went on a bunch of hikes. And it's a physically active day in
hot weather. Yeah.
My wife found some really cool hiking trails. Yeah. So we hit a couple spots before we left. And I knew it was going to be hot. I'm fine sweating and whatnot. But yeah, she was just like, it's so hot. I was like, you got to fight through it.
It is funny when you learn anytime you're in. I remember that when it was the Oregon Wisconsin Rose Bowl, whatever year that was, 2019, 2020. And we were down there, and you learn how soft people in Southern California are with just the slightest dip in temperature.
Yeah.
Because we were leaving for the game, and I want to say it was something like 62 degrees, which for me, that's shorts and a t-shirt. Like, that's warm enough to keep me, I'm okay. Like,
yeah.
And I maybe pack a little quarter zip
jacket
if you need it, put it in the backpack just in case you get a little chilly, but it's shorts and a t-shirt. And I remember getting in the Uber to go do the pregame show, and the driver looking at me like I was an alien from outer space. He was in like long pants and a sweatshirt. Like, what the hell's the matter with you? I'm like, it's going to be mid-60s in a couple of hours. That's warm enough for shorts and a t-shirt, you candy ass.
Yeah, no, it's a real thing down there. And like, even on...
I will admit, though, I am a little bit that way, too. Like, I don't complain about it being too cold, but I think I am to the age now where over 80 for an extended period of time, baking in the sun is too hot for me.
Well, my wife is on vacation. My wife is very go, go, go.
Like, yeah.
And I'm kind of the same way. Like, we don't want to waste our time sitting in our Airbnb for 3 hours or just... You know,
like, scrolling your phone, watching something on TV.
Like, relaxing is fine. Like, I'm okay with that. But, like, I'm also, like, not in the I want to sit by the pool for 3 hours guy. You know, like, the kiddos want to swim eventually. You let them.
Sure.
Whatever. I even had one of our days where we went to, because our last couple days, we stayed at Mission Beach, which was highly suggested by one Isaac Rob.
Okay.
And I got thoughts on that place. And we stayed, and we were by this bay area. Mm-hmm. So it's enclosed from the ocean, but the water's. Yeah, a little chilly, whatever.
Yeah.
Kids are swimming. I was out in the sun. I got burned on my back a little bit. My forehead's red. My nose got burned again.
You got the lobster thing going on.
Yeah. Man. So we were out there for maybe 2 hours, and I got back, and like it wiped me out. I
passed
out sitting on the couch. My mom was like, are you high? And I'm like, no, I just can't be in the sun for more than 2 hours like
that.
What are
we talking, 85 degrees, 83 degrees?
No, it was 81.
81, okay,
it was
low
81.
80s.
I couldn't believe how like... I don't know.
And that cooked you still. Even a couple hours, you're like, all
right,
that's enough.
Their sun just hits you harder. I don't know how to explain it. UV, maybe? I don't know.
It's different the further south you go.
It took me out.
I do know that feeling, though. You're out in the sun for a while, and you're just like, man, I am completely – my battery's gone.
It drained my battery.
I need an hour recharge. I need to go plug myself in on the couch and lay down with a water or a cocktail, and then I'll be good to go. Give me 60 minutes.
So went to Anaheim, did the Disney thing for the one day, right?
Yeah. How did Disney go? Good.
Disney was great. In fact, I came up with a brilliant idea.
Okay.
Now, a friend of mine, some would say, did this, and it ended up making it. And I enjoy Disney. Like, when you're there, you're in it. You see the happiness in the kids. It's impossible to be miserable. We walked 10 miles. That was the miserable part.
Yeah, you're just moving constantly.
Well, everybody we were with, all we wanted to do was the best rides. Nobody wanted to go, let's go to Peter Pan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're like, Space Mountain is the complete opposite side of the park.
You got to think more strategically as your stops along the way.
We didn't do that.
Cut down your miles a little bit.
Star Wars lines low. The Splash Mountain ride, which we rode like 3 times, that's open again.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like constantly moving back and forth. If you go with Teddy Ballgame and Future Wyatt, and you're going to.
Over my dead body.
I'm going to tell you. I think you'll actually be okay doing it, even if you're not a fan of the price points and doing the whole theme park thing.
Sure.
You take 2 gummies with you, sir, and your entire day will be amazing.
You feel delightful. The little mushrooms on the houses look more realistic. They start dancing at you.
It's
you're
impossible.
You're high-fiving Mickey. There's Goofy. Yay!
Exactly. It's impossible for you to not
have a bad day.
Yeah.
Okay. I could see the argument there.
That's the out I would give you. I was thinking about that because a friend of mine, you know, partook, and I was like, hey, dude, that's a good idea.
When in Rome, I might as well.
And, you know, I was jealous about this friend that did that, you know? And I was like, that's the way that you execute it.
I feel like doing it for the one, I can handle the one, like the pop in, pop out. I can handle that for a day. And a lengthy vacation, the pop in, pop out, it's chaotic, it's busy. My main Disney stance is like, I'm not doing a Disney vacation.
If it's fair.
If it's tied into another vacation, we're down in Southern California and we're popping in, I'm okay with that. I'll sign off on that. But like staying at a Disney resort for 5 days and doing it for a week, by God, no. I'm not bankrupting my family.
I would guess that when you go, Teddy ball games in that 8 to 11 range is my guess.
Yeah, and, ain't happening anytime soon. That's for damn sure.
Right, because you want him to kind of remember it and be able to go on all the rides.
Right,
like my nephew is very terrified of big rides, and you know, he went with us. It was his first time, and he was asking me about every ride. He's like, "Is it got a loop?" And I was like telling him about every ride to prepare him, and he had a great time. If you go at that age, you have to do two, because if you try to do it all in one,
can't do it.
Your legs will fall off. It will be like a 10-mile day.
Right.
That way you can slow play it, do two, and then drive to San Diego for the rest of your trip.
Okay, now you're pushing it a little bit.
No, I got that's what
one
I'm
day.
Saying,
well, one day.
2 days.
Leave a couple rides unrode, you know? The imagination,
right?
If
you're going to do it,
let
you
it linger in the back of your head.
If you're going to do it, you got to do it.
Teddy can dream about that one. We'll do it next time.
Now, that being said, I was in Anaheim for a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Anaheim absolutely blows.
Yeah.
And let's just say this out loud. Southern California, I think, has great pockets. It ain't in Anaheim.
Nah, it's not a place
Anaheim
to be.
Anaheim sucks. I hate Anaheim. I think it's terrible.
I have no experience in Anaheim. I've never been.
Well, don't go.
Well, I've been to Disneyland. I went when I was a kid, so I've been in the area, but I don't remember much about the
There's
trip.
Nothing else.
Nothing
Disney
to do. That's all you got.
Disney is the economy.
Yeah.
Without Disneyland, nobody would go to Anaheim.
What in about fact, the Angels, man? They got Mike Trout.
We didn't go to an Angels game. We were right. going to, and I'm actually glad we didn't. We went to an In-N-Out, and it was right by the Angels Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Their parking lot was empty, and it was a game day.
Nobody was there.
Dude, it was an hour into the game.
Get in for $5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could have got in that game for $8.
Yeah, it's that's a professional sports team that should not exist.
I totally agree.
There's
or
no
they should
need.
Relocate.
Relocate, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't want to take a team away. Move them to a city where people will care.
Yes.
The Padres are an hour away. The Dodgers are right. There's no need for another baseball team right there. It's ludicrous. Padres have a good following, a beautiful ballpark. Dodgers have a great historic ballpark with a huge following.
Yeah, exactly.
The Angels are lost in the shuffle.
They're absolutely relevant.
They've always been lost in the shuffle.
I don't know who's more relevant in L.A., the Clippers or the Angels. I don't know who
that's
that is.
That's a great poll question to start the day. Who is the least relevant team of the L.A. Chargers? Because they have like 7 fans.
That's the NFL,
I know.
Though,
people
at
go,
least.
They watch, but you know, there's no Chargers
you're
fans.
Not
they
wrong.
Don't exist.
You're not wrong.
The Anaheim Angels or the LA Clippers?
I think it's.
What's the least relevant
franchise? I think it has to be the Clippers. At least the Angels delivered a title in 2002. I know that was a long time ago, but.
It was a long time ago.
The Clippers have never been to a championship.
This is true. This is true.
Even the Chargers in their disappointing history, it's the NFL.
And it's Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, it's Herbert. You know,
it's
got a little sex appeal to it.
McDaniel now.
Yeah, it's SoFi's a nice stadium.
Very true.
So I think personally it's the Clippers. The only reason they're being talked about is because of this weird scandal that Kawhi Leonard got paid for, but somehow Steve Ballmer wasn't connected to in any way.
Sure. Okay. I love both controversies in L.A. right now. The Dodgers are about to be bankrupt.
Well, I actually think it's worthy talking about their owner.
And maybe you should stop complaining about the bullpen and start complaining about the owner rigging the books.
Bernie Madoff, line two, anybody?
Oh, you're going to get locked up. Get ready to learn prison, buddy.
Well, he gave Trump a ring,
that's
so
true.
He's definitely going to get pardoned.
There's a pardon coming in this direction, but you got to lose that baseball team, man. That
he's
baseball team going bye-bye.
Probably lose that baseball team.
Have fun with that in the next 5 years.
But I think if I was to vote, the Angels feel more irrelevant right now, but I think in overall,
Clippers,
they at least represent a decent section of L.A.
Yeah, Anaheim's its own little
small area.
Right, right.
What do the Clippers represent?
Nothing.
In fact, my thought in San Diego was, how is there not an NFL team still here?
Yeah,
it's how was that ever allowed?
Talk about a great fan base that always supported their team.
I saw Chargers gear in San Diego. People still rep it a little bit. It's obviously a Padres city,
right?
And the Clippers should be in San Diego as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that take.
I saw their arena yesterday.
I don't disagree with that take at all. Move them to San Diego, and the Chargers should for sure still be there.
Yeah, they should have never left San Diego.
It's ridiculous that they're in Los Angeles.
But Anaheim absolutely blows. Now, the Padres Stadium.
Yeah, Petco. What's the review of Petco?
First of all, those Odyssey seats.
Pretty good. You got hooked up. They delivered.
I was 8 rows from third base.
Round of applause to Odyssey San Diego.
They delivered.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Scott Roddy coming in.
lot of
you.
Yes.
We were a little concerned at first, but he was able to step up to the plate.
I did look up at the suite and wonder which one should I have been in, because I was told I could get a
which one? Yeah,
that one. Where's I did have that, but the seats were great. No, we were behind the net.
You looked like it was party time.
No, it was great. It was a good time. The stadium is unreal. My wife asked which stadium I thought was better between Safeco and Petco.
Okay, Seattle, San Diego.
How do you differentiate?
I know it's tough. They're different.
They're both awesome. They're both great. Both good in different ways.
How's the district around the ballpark? Solid. A lot of stuff
to
do.
It's great. It's there's absolutely there's a road you never want to go down after a game.
Okay, don't go that way.
I mean, I was in downtown San Diego a little bit.
Got some White Walkers down that way.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, it's a decent stretch of just like, would not want to stay down this road. Yeah. I think it's 16th is the street.
Okay, stay off of 16th.
Don't go to 16th after the game.
Right.
But it's great, dude. It's a good atmosphere. Gary Sanchez was pitching for the Brewers because they were getting their asses whooped and they didn't want to use a reliever.
Oh, they put in a positional player to pitch? You saw a blowout to that magnitude? Dude. I forgot to look at the score. I know you sent the picture. I forgot to look at the score.
It was 11-2.
Okay, they got smoked.
And they just multiple home runs. We got a grand salami
dude,
in there.
That's what you want. You want some dingers, lights go down,
Tatis
fireworks.
Went yard.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want to be immersed in the whenever you. I had this when I went to the Braves game. They were playing the Marlins.
Uh-huh.
You just end up rooting for the team. Like I have no interest in either team. I'm not rooting for or against. You end up rooting for the team that you're there. Like in that ballpark, you kind of do the tomahawk chop. You get into it when you're in the ballpark of the team.
Yeah, it was good. I ended up buying a hat, but it's not like super evident it's a Padres hat.
Okay.
I wanted to like kind of fit in, buy something to
it's
say
an
I was
incognito
there.
San Diego hat.
Well, I'll probably wear it eventually on the show, but it's right. An actual Padre swinging a bat.
That's pretty cool. The
they
old Friar?
The Swinging Friar. Yeah, it's that's a Swinging Friar hat.
That's a good looking logo.
There's
right
no
there.
SD on it. It's just the Padre, and that's it.
You
I'm
just
like,
tell
that's
people
perfect.
You're super religious.
Well,
this is my guy.
I could say that.
This is Jesus right here, dude. You're telling me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
Yeah, exactly.
This is Jesus
yard.
Christ hitting a curveball right here.
But Padre game was great. Now, here's what I loved about San Diego. Okay? Obviously, weather.
The tacos. Do you eat a lot of tacos?
I hate to tell you this, but
I hear they got good tacos.
I went to the recommended restaurant that listeners and coworkers suggested.
You got to go get their tacos.
The Taco Stand.
Go get the tacos.
I ordered the Cali Burrito. Phenomenal.
Okay.
Phenomenal. Tacos? I didn't eat a single one.
Not a single taco.
The only taco I ate was in downtown Disney. It was terrible.
That's a little controversial in San Diego, I feel like.
Super upset with myself.
Now, what are the San Diego tacos? Are they known for fish tacos?
It's more seafood based.
Okay, that's what I assume, so maybe that's not your cup of tea.
Steak and, you know, all those.
Yeah.
Here's my other problem. I'm having a real difficult time in Oregon, California, doesn't matter. Buying $4 plus street taco.
That's tough, yeah.
When did that become a thing?
Hello, America.
I know, but like the street tacos should never be surpassing $3.
It's legitimately 3 bites and it's gone.
So like I'm not spending $5 to eat a taco.
How many tacos too does it take to fill your hole?
Street tacos, like
four at the minimum, right? Probably aggressively five.
Yeah, so like I was a little disappointed in myself that I didn't do it. But the weather's good. The beaches, obviously. The hiking trails. I love the freeways. Even when there was traffic, you're at least going 20 miles an hour. Yeah. You're not stopping and sitting.
19 lanes along the freeway.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
The Cali Burrito, different pocket city, Norpark, Mission Beach, Mission Valley, La Jolla, and Torrey. Little Italy was cool. We couldn't actually eat there because we made the mistake of going on a Friday night, like literally at 8 o'clock.
It didn't have a reservation?
Oh, no. You can't get there.
You can't even get in.
You can drive kind of past it.
Yeah.
But you're not eating.
See it out your window in the car, Big Ben Parliament, and then keep going.
We made the grave mistake of not taking into account the day and the time.
Yeah, Friday night.
And so that was a big mistake. But what I would say is what leads to saying it sucks and you can't get there is the parking. This is a negative. San Diego does not have parking.
So you can't stop anywhere, park anywhere?
Good luck.
Nowhere to go.
There's no parking, and their parking spots barely fit a Corolla. And I was driving a minivan. So you can imagine how that went for about a week. It was terrible.
Got to park this bus, man. I've got enough space over here.
I cannot believe how little San Diego actually cares about people parking.
They just want people doing public transit and biking and walking? Is that the point? Or do they just not plan that out properly?
It feels like a Portland Highway thing. Like, nobody's going to need to park in this city. And they did that 100 years ago, and they've never updated
Revised it.
I don't know what it is with that city, but they just decided nobody wants to park. And I'm talking every
everywhere you
single
go.
Single pocket.
Interesting.
It was absolutely dreadful.
Got to revise your parking map, San Diego.
Cali drivers obviously continue to suck.
Yeah.
And it's mainly, I got cut off like three times, like aggressively passed, just for them to turn right 10 feet later. And I'm like, why did you need
Why was that necessary? You were right.
I wasn't signaling. I'm not turning into the...
I was right here.
What are you doing here?
You saved yourself 4 seconds?
I
congratulations.
Just, yeah, I don't know.
And that's then, a whole different world down there, driving.
I love the drive. Like, I love freeway driving.
Once you get on the freeway, you're fine.
It's good. Let's all go 80. I'm all in on that.
Yeah, everybody drives faster.
It's the residential driving that's like, it's a little too...
There's my turn.
Yeah. I'm going to cut you off, and now I'm going to turn.
Exactly.
San Diego Zoo was great. We only did it for about a half day.
Mm-hmm.
Love seeing a lot of animals that we have never and probably will never have in our zoo.
Right.
A little too big.
Ooh, too big of a zoo.
That's too big.
Too long to get through all of it?
We didn't get through all
of it. You couldn't even do it,
I mean, it was 83 degrees.
It's hot. Yeah, you walk for like 3 hours, four hours.
We didn't pack lunch, you know? Like, right, it was just like, you know, do we need to see the elephants?
Let's go eat in the cafe. We got elephants at our zoo, dude. We don't need it. What's the difference? San Diego elephants, Portland elephants, they're all the same.
Yeah, I just kind of was like, yeah, it's great to see a lot of these animals. We don't have these, but...
Right. Climate's different. They can handle it a little bit better.
Dear God, dude.
Yeah, that's too much.
Dear God. It's like a massive airport. You got to take this tram to that section.
Oh, it's too big.
This animal's in the opposites. It was like Disneyland 2.0, but with animals.
Need a two-day pass just to get through the San Diego Zoo.
Yeah, we didn't have that. We had a one-day pass. Get as much done as you possibly can. But it was great. It was nice to be away. And,
well, welcome back, buddy. Glad it was a good vacation.
I unplugged. I have no idea what's been happening. Anybody get fired?
No, not to my knowledge.
No.
I think everybody's still employed.
Significant.
Yeah. Okay. You missed preseason football. That was a thing.
Actually watched a little bit of
it.
It was
too.
On every bar.
Everywhere you go in, it's on TV. It's
I couldn't tell what was live and what was a replay. I was like, oh, the Rams and the Chiefs are playing. Yeah. I got home and it was like, that was yesterday.
Oh, okay. You got to see Ty Thompson shred it, the next Tom Brady, baby.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Who'd he play?
Here we go.
What? Is that third string?
He played an NFL team is what he played.
Oh, Ty Thompson.
And he dominated them,
okay?
Ty Thompson, that's Ty Simpson to you, okay? Get ready to learn franchise quarterback, buddy.
The guy they didn't want to pick, but they picked and then told us they wanted to pick him. Yeah, okay.
He's going to dominate the NFC West for the next 15
years.
I can't
wait for Stafford to leave. Good luck with that one. All right, we have a lot to get to today. Ken Barkley is going to make his illustrious return.
What?
Yeah.
That Ken Barkley?
Yes.
The Ken Barkley?
The Ken Barkley will be on at 9 a.m.
You know what? I don't like jokes.
What was that?
I think we just played that at the same time.
Literally.
What's the play?
It's like five cuts and you double dipped that chip.
What are the chances we do it simultaneously, too? That was almost synchronized. Like, that was synchronized diving right there.
That's us. I mean, we've been co-hosting together all week. So we're
cycling the same.
It's so good.
Being off a week is weird.
It's very weird, yeah.
It's a very bizarre feeling going home yesterday, and I'm like,
Yeah.
7 days.
Yeah.
What a journey.
Throws you off a little bit.
Being off 2.5 weeks was...
Yeah.
I was like, what am I doing? Why am I going back? It's like, oh, that's right. I didn't have money. I can't live this life all the time.
Yeah, see, I get it in Italy. I like San Diego a lot. I definitely would go back, but I did miss my home.
Yeah, it's one of those, I'm a weird person on vacation where you're so eager for it, and then like usually about 4 days in, kind of like,
We did laundry.
If you're doing laundry on vacation.
Coin-operated laundry we did.
I'm ready to get back in my bed.
We just handed it to our porter.
After about
on the
4 days,
ship.
Like, okay, I'm ready to go.
I don't have time. Yeah. We need to have conversations. Hotels need to up their sheet and blanket games because hotels and Airbnbs are playing the same game.
Yes, they are.
Awful beds.
Yeah.
Awful.
I had this same rant coming back from vacation last week.
Terrible.
That I think Airbnbs need to disclose the firmness or softness of their beds.
Yeah.
When you rent a place. I want to know what kind of bed I'm getting.
Our AC crapped out the first day at our Airbnb in San Diego.
It's going to be hot.
It
open that windows at nighttime.
Muggy. It was so damn muggy.
Air that bitch out.
All right, we got a lot to get to today. I have one thing I missed while I was out. I'd like to talk about it. I don't want to step over toes. I know you guys probably got to it, but it matters a great deal to me, and I'll tell you what that is. We'll do it next on The Fan.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location. Ask them about the only Fan so good only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off. We have a lot in the cafe to get to today. I'd love to know how your specials went.
Got to turn my mic on there. I hated the special. The specials is too much pressure. That was the part of the cafe that I'm out
to
on.
Criticize the specials. We don't want to give them out. Nah, huh? Is that how that goes?
I'm taking shots, but I'm not going to be the one that's offering up the deals.
I have a phenomenal special today.
Okay, you got a good one?
Yeah, I think
one of the days, for example, I went with cold pizza.
Yeah,
because I love cold pizza for breakfast. Swigart offered nothing over there.
Hey, no, I gave you the Cajun Benedict yesterday.
Yeah, finally, last day, gave me a Cajun Benedict.
I'll tell you. If I walked into a breakfast restaurant and cold pizza was the menu special, I'd be curious enough to ask about it. And then if it sounded good enough, I might actually do it.
That's what I thought.
Now,
if I offered you a piece of cold pizza, would you eat it?
I would.
Right? You would?
I love cold pizza.
Who doesn't love cold pizza for breakfast?
I know.
It's the breakfast of champions.
Something that happened, I think, in the middle of my vacation. I don't remember the day, but something that I was alerted to, and it actually impacted me as a sports fan. Not many things get me emotionally charged or make me feel any certain way, right? We talk about sports every day. We watch a lot of sports.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten older, and I've felt this way for about a decade. I've started to appreciate players and athletes far more than when I was younger, and I'd be like, is Shaq really that good? He's just big. It's like, dumb take.
Sure.
Dumb 15-year-old Brandon Sprague take. One of the things that happened while I was out, and I was really sad that I couldn't talk about it, I said, you know, to hell with that. I'm going to talk about it. I was actually legitimately bummed that Russell Westbrook retired.
Yeah, we did a whole segment on that.
And I'm not surprised that he did. Only two teams wanted him, the Kings and the Wizards. So I don't blame him for not wanting to, you know, play in Sacramento for another season. And
two teams that will probably – Wizards might be
– they're not going to be good.
Those probably not going to be very good.
And it bummed me out because I have long – like I watched him at UCLA in person when they came to Oregon State. From that moment until the very end, I'm not going to claim that I watched a lot of Sacramento Kings games last year.
Sure.
But basically, from that moment to the very end, I'm a big Russell Westbrook fan. And I've gotten into this with Danny before because he tells me all the negatives of Russell Westbrook. And I just, sure, you can tell me the negatives of every player.
Yeah, everybody's got a negative.
Damian Lillard's defense is
horrible.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment to defensive effort.
Yes.
Largely his whole career.
But he's an all-time great scorer.
But he's an all-time great. Yeah. Like, just because you have a weakness doesn't mean your entire game is a weakness. And I know all the flaws and the faults of a Russell Westbrook. I'm well aware of it. But you cannot, in good conscience, look me in the eye and tell me you're a big Michael Jordan fan, but you don't like Russell Westbrook. Those don't make sense to me. Because what you love about Michael Jordan, aside from the six rings, is what? The killer instinct. The effort. The quotes of the janitor sitting in the top row of the game, and it might be the only game he could afford, so I'm going to play hard. Right. Russell Westbrook literally checked all of those boxes.
He was the epitome of that in the modern NBA.
Every single one. And so Russell Westbrook retiring, and then Kevin Durant sent out a big, long Instagram message. And
that was really cool. That happened. We did this segment, and then the Durant thing happened afterwards, so we never really talked about that part of it, but that was really special to read.
I was in Disneyland, and I read that in line waiting for a ride, and I'm not trying to exaggerate. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Am I getting dusty here? Right. And I know they didn't win, and he left and all that, but, like, I just love eras of sports that we're living in where we're seeing these all-time great athletes. And there's a blurb from an article written about Westbrook that I read from Tyler Parker. He writes for The Ringer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I've read something that sums me up more to a T of how I feel about an athlete than this. The sheer volume of Westbrook's numbers cannot tell his whole story. His detractors, weak people with fear in their hearts, are quick to point out that he was inefficient, volatile, that he cared about the triple-doubles too much, that he hunted rebounds when he should have been contesting shots, that he could gamble too much on defense and shoot too much on offense. And it was not as if we Westbrook fans thought otherwise. It was true. He could drive you nuts, and sometimes you left possessions exasperated, wondering what on earth he could have been thinking. But sports are not only about high levels of efficiency. How boring would basketball be if that were all that mattered? Sports are also about watching people do wild S, things you could never dream of accomplishing with your body, and reveling in what physical wonders humans are capable of. One of the reasons we watch sports is to see human beings meet the moment and succeed in the face of adversity. Another reason we watch sports is to watch somebody do something you thought was impossible, to see somebody make a play, and to think to yourself, I did not know we could do that.
Yeah.
That is my impression of somebody coming out of a 50-year coma and watching Russell Westbrook play basketball for the first time. And he's 100% right.
Yeah.
like, even in the midst of the Blazer-Thunder, not rivalry, but, like, the back and forth, and then the playoff series itself, I never actually hated him.
No.
Now,
you rooted against him when your team played him, and exactly. You obviously wanted Dame to outperform him, but yeah, I'm with you.
I could never actually fully bring myself. In fact, what I would say is when Dame and the Blazers ended up beating them on that walk-off shot, which I was at, and it was a remarkable play, I found him impossible to root against. I loved the baby cradle thing, but also what made it great was being in the Blazer crosshairs dirt, having a guy like Dame, and what I loved about that series was his, oh, I'm going to come back at you now. And it felt like a kid in a movie hitting a bully in the face.
Yeah.
Because Russ was absolutely a bully. And how many times has a Blazer ever existed that's been a bully back?
Right.
And in that series, it brought it out of Dame. He did the fly.
He was the better player, and he hit the biggest shot. And yeah.
Yeah, he ended the series with a shot. Like, but I still loved Russell Westbrook, and I still will always appreciate what Russell Westbrook was. It was A-plus effort every single night. And it's not even a conversation. He got criticized for not being a traditional point guard. Dude, he's got 10,000-plus assists and 20,000-plus points.
Yeah, he's one of three players all time with 20,000, 7,000, and 7,000. It's LeBron, Russell Westbrook, and Oscar.
I'm sorry he didn't look like Jason Kidd or John Stockton playing the position. I'm not sorry he didn't shoot like Steph Curry. Like, that's not what sports is all about. So I was really sad, and I was bummed. And I've, you know, long defended Russell Westbrook. I still think if they don't make the Harden trade or force Harden out, we might be having a different conversation of legacy.
Yeah.
But his legacy is well intact. He's one of the greatest to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And it's a hell of a career. And I know that's a random segment to throw at you on a Wednesday, almost a week later. But it was just he's an athlete to me that's important enough for me to want to bring it back and talk about.
It's funny because I feel like he's almost the epitome of the modern athlete, where he did things, statistically speaking, that we thought were unthinkable. And he flew in the face of one of the biggest criticisms of the league, yet we still found a way to hate him to a certain extent. Like, one of the biggest criticisms that exists in the NBA, and a lot of it is completely valid, is the idea that guys are softer now and they don't play as many nights, and you could buy a ticket to go see the Spurs when they come to town, and Wemby's not going to play in Portland because he doesn't want to play in Portland. And that sucks for the customer who's buying that ticket. Russell Westbrook flew in the face of that his entire career. He was the anti-that. The thing that we hate most about the NBA, he was the anti-that, yet we still put him down. I brought it up when we did the segment. Like, it is hilarious to me to think we went forever thinking about and talking about the NBA, believing that the triple-double was probably impossible, to average it for an entire season. Like, Oscar did it, and it's funny to think back of, like, he did it in 1961. It went from 1961 until Russ did it, whatever it was, 2017, I think was the first year he did it. That was the gap of how long we went without a guy averaging a triple-double. It was impossible to do. And then he did it, and what did we do?
We crapped all over it.
Stat chasing. As if no other player in the history of the NBA had ever chased stats at any point in their career on losing basketball teams without a chance to win a championship. But because it was a guy who was slightly controversial, we just found a way to dump all over it. And then he did it again, and then he did it again, and yet we still found a way to poo-poo it. The biggest question that I had in the segment that I did last week when he retired, because I didn't know that was on the radar. I just assumed he was going to play again. I didn't know he was thinking about it.
It might happen.
Yeah, I figured somebody would take a flyer on him, but I don't blame him for not wanting to play in Washington or Sacramento. It reminded me of the what if of the Durant decision and how different, you go back to that moment and you play out the scenario where Kevin Durant decides, we were in the Western Conference Finals. We had a 3-1 lead. I'm not leaving this. I love OKC. I just won an MVP. We're staying here. And just how many legacies that changes. Durant's for staying loyal. He's not hated the way he is. Him and Westbrook would have had a legitimate shot at winning a championship at some point. And if they have one together in OKC, how impactful is that for each of their legacies?
Yeah.
And then the ricochet effect of that is how many more titles does LeBron have? If Kevin Durant doesn't. Like, it was just fascinating to think back to that moment in time and how many different legacies and careers one decision from one player changed. And Russ was a huge part of that.
There's an image of Russ that people will use from time to time. And you probably know this one. It's when he got the dent in his head. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
So what people don't remember, and Tyler Parker wrote all of these great things. You got to go read this piece if you like Russell Westbrook, or at least appreciate an athlete like Russell Westbrook. So that happened from his own teammate at the end of a ball game. So he gets this big dent in his head. He had to miss one game. He got surgery to fix the dent. He missed one game.
One game back in the line.
Only one. He dented his head literally in. You can Google image this. He missed one game. His first game back. Do you know what his stat line was?
What did he do?
First game back from getting a dent in his head. 49 points, 15 boards, 10 assists, 3 steals, 1 block.
Pretty good. Pretty good little stat.
And a home win against Philly.
That's not a 7-foot Giannis doing that. No. That's a, what's Russ?
Dude, he's 6'3". 6'3". Yeah. I've stood next to Russell Westbrook. He's legitimately 2 inches taller than me. And from UCLA until the very, this dude was always trying to just jam the ball down your head.
Yeah. You're talking about literally one of the best athletes of all time.
Yes.
Like without
not even
question
a doubt.
In the not conversation is one of the best. Ever.
Not even a doubt. And I just think even though these guys don't win titles, because not all of them do.
Mm-hmm.
I just will never understand people that don't appreciate kind of like the special nature of athletes like this.
Right.
If Josh Allen never wins a Super Bowl,
I'm still going to appreciate his career.
We're going to do a segment about how awesome it was to watch Josh Allen play football.
It was
how
incredible.
Different it was. How he started out not being able to throw the ball
from Wyoming.
And he became one of the best guys to throw the football. Like
multi-MVP.
It's okay to enjoy the journey of athletes who don't always get to the mountaintop. And you're so right about the Durant decision. If he doesn't go to Golden State,
how different is the legacy?
Well, you can't help but wonder. Yeah, they fell short. Yeah, Russ had his limits. How do they tweak the roster and make the changes to get the right guys around the two to get over the hump maybe?
Right.
And we'll never know that answer. And, you know, it's a great career, 18 years, one of the few players to ever have the stats that you cited. But, I was really sad and bummed out because I have always loved to watch Russell Westbrook play basketball.
We're also to the age now where guys are retiring who we've seen their entire pro careers are like adult lives, and that's a weird feeling. He was one of those for me because I remember being...
He was in college when you were in college.
When I was in college, I remember going... When he came to play at Mack Court, I remember being at that game, and then it just... That was the other weird feeling for me of like, these aren't old... Wait a minute. He's my age,
man. Why are these videos crazy?
Hey, what's going on here? This doesn't make any sense.
This isn't 4K.
I'm not that old.
Russell Westbrook, thank you very much for entertaining a guy in Portland, Oregon every single time he watched you play. It was great, and good luck to him in retirement. He's probably going to do some great things in his community. All right, we got a lot more to get into. 6:43. Back with more on The Fan.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, we'll step into Cafe coming up at the top of the hour. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. Good special on the menu. A lot to get to in the world of sports from yesterday. We'll talk a little bit of fall camp stuff going on. I saw the AP poll was released while I was out. Nobody's giving you guys a chance. Only
nobody's,
number two.
Nobody's picking us number one, man. I see you. I see you, AP poll. Keep doubting us, all right?
Very interesting takeaway of the preseason AP poll, aside from just the general outrage college football fans have about where their team is
how dare
picked.
You? Yeah.
There is something that I noticed, and I'm like, I don't think this makes any sense, and I want to talk about that. So we'll get some college football stuff coming up in hour two.
Baker's stealing my shtick, too. He's saying everybody's doubting us this year, and people are like, you're the favorite in Vegas.
Baker Mayfield?
Everybody's doubting us this year. I see people picking us not to win the Super Bowl, but everybody's picking you to win the division.
Well, yeah, nobody's going to pick you to win the Super Bowl, dude. You guys play in the South. That division sucks.
You can win 9 games and win the division this year, buddy.
Let me tell you, I don't know if anything has made me turn a television off of football more than watching Tua attempt passes as a Falcon. Good God, that was ugly.
Who could have seen that coming? Hmm. It's not like we only had 3 years of that the last 3 years of Miami.
Did you watch Hard Knocks yesterday?
I did not. I missed Hard Knocks yesterday.
Okay, well, I watched it. And
what's the review?
Well, I want to know, we're 3 episodes in here. Mm-hmm. The Seattle Seahawks being on Hard Knocks as a Super Bowl champion is pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
We had a little bit of a back and forth debate before I left and you left of like Mike McDonald. And you're like, boring.
Both things can be true at the same
Thoughts
time.
Thoughts on Mike McDonald?
He is way more captivating than I thought he would be, but he's still very boring. And that's a compliment.
Okay.
To a certain extent. Like, he's, there was the moment.
What's captivating about him? Like, why do you say captivating? And you
because he's clearly a very bright guy. He clearly has his entire locker room seemingly eating out of the palm of his hand. Yeah. They all love playing for him. You can respect the culture. Like, we played the clip on the show yesterday of the Richard Sherman clip talking about the Legion of Boom and the, what do they call their team now? The Mob or I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, MOB.
MOB.
Yeah.
And just the differences there. And we joked about how Russell Wilson is a big part of why the culture in the locker room is a little bit different.
Yeah.
And Sam Darnold seems to be a more beloved guy inside the locker room. But it just, I can respect somebody and look at that guy and say, I want to play for him. But also, there are times when he gives answers and I'm just like, that is hilarious. And there's not a lot of personality there. So I think both sides are true. But he has absolutely proven me. I thought he was going to be a snoozer the entire show.
I know. And I was that's a little surprised
not,
that.
That's
that.
Not the case.
Yeah.
It's certainly not the case.
I hear what you're saying at press conferences. It's not a lot of coaches do give you much in a press conference anyway.
No, he's not Dan Campbell.
No. Who had to cut down his caffeine intake about half. So he's not having a gallon of caffeine a day, he said. He's having a half gallon now.
Half gallon.
I thought that was really funny. You don't get that very much. But what I would say is the way that he kind of just looks, like he's generally always thinking.
Yeah, like there's something. Yeah,
he's processing
information. Crossing through his mind. He's thinking about something.
Yeah, right. Like you mentioned the Sherman clip that you played yesterday. And
his answer to that was hilarious. So how'd you do it?
I don't know.
Well, it's like he doesn't want to acknowledge what Sherman's telling him of like, you guys just all, you won and you still like, you still want it.
We won the Super Bowl and that was not the case for us.
And I think he's a big rat poison guy. He doesn't want to talk about, he's always looking at the edge, right? And I don't know, there's something about him. I knew he was good, knew he was smart. He coached in Baltimore, for God's sakes. But it's admissions during this show that I'm finding interesting. Like he had a thing yesterday where he was talking to the general team and he said, you know, when I first started coaching, I was coaching not to lose and I wasn't coaching to win. And he said, there's a difference there.
Yeah.
I was coaching out of fear that I was going to be replaced because he has imposter syndrome.
Right.
He was coaching out of how do I avoid us not giving up the lead? And then we would give up the lead. And now he's sitting from a point of what's the game plan need to be to win the game?
Yeah.
Not hold on to the lead, but win the game. And I think that stuff, the players might not show it on their faces when they cut to them during these things, but those are absolutely relatable instances. Whether he was a player or not, he's a coordinator who literally coached for his livelihood. That's no different than any of those players.
I mean, it's much more difficult, I would argue, as somebody who didn't play at a high level to work your way up the ladder and to have that imposter syndrome of you're applying for jobs as a coordinator against somebody who was probably a 10-year vet in the NFL.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's just a different, right? And that doesn't matter that much at the end of the day, but I see why you would have that mentality as a coach.
And I think it's easy to watch these shows and you're getting edited versions of camp and, you know, Schneider being involved pretty heavily yesterday was interesting.
The Terry and Arnold signing happening while this show is going on is putting a fascinating spin on everything.
Well, and his agent, she called Schneider to tell him, hey, he wants to play with you guys, and they basically got into how this is like a character rebuild. And then she also kind of like weirdly was like, you know, he's hoping he plays a little bit. And I'm like, he's going to play a lot of it. He's Terry and Arnold.
Well, until he gets off the commissioner's list, he's probably not going to play a ton. But yeah, at some point he will be an impactful guy for them.
Yeah.
Unless he goes to prison.
Well, there's that.
There are still charges pending on Terry.
Jay Harbaugh actually had a funny clip in this because he was talking about it. He goes, how come they released him? And Schneider's like, I mean, when you're in that position, you kind of don't have a choice. And he goes, I guess that's true. The first team, like, we'd probably do the same thing here, but the second team always gets to be the one that gives them the chance, not the original team.
And then you're the redemption story. Then you're the pot. Like, if it ends up being he doesn't go to prison or the charges get dropped or dismissed or lowered, whatever the case may be, and he redeems his character, you end up being the landing spot that turned his career around.
I think what I'm saying is I knew how talented that team was. I didn't need the show, but I think it's making me pick them for the division.
It's the hard knock bump. Happens every
year. It's absolutely
a real
thing.
Different because usually it's not the defending champions, right? Usually it's like you watch a hard knock.
It's rare that
and you're
get
like,
the champion.
I think these guys are going to be good. And then they win five games because you just watch the highlights, the slow-mos, the music.
Right.
It makes you fully buy in. Yeah, it hasn't changed my perception. I thought they were a great team and I still think they're a great team. Mm-hmm. The first two episodes, though, I will say, in terms of like, and I was trying to rack my brain of years past, and it's you always kind of forget. It has been one of the more compelling hard knocks that we've had probably since Dan Campbell.
Well, Darnold has really shown himself Darnold's to be hilarious. So damn likable.
Cooper Kupp has been super light. Mm-hmm. Like, you just get to learn about the guys, and that's the benefit of Hard Knocks, right? Especially if you're a fan of those teams. Campbell is hard to match just because of his energy and his personality, and at the time, we kind of laughed about him because he had it early in his tenure before we knew he was a good coach, and we're like, who's this meathead running the team? But they have certainly, it's been a compelling story. I totally spaced it. It was on last night, but I will watch at some point this week.
Football coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Loaded second hour. We'll talk some college football. We'll kick it off, though. Cafe Day, Dirt and Sprague, hour two on The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.